In just under 2 hours, as we go to air in the eastern states, Prime Minister Scott Morrison delivers the national apology to victims and survivors of institutional child sexual abuse. It's a day many who survived that abuse have been waiting for. But what kind of emotional weight and steps towards healing does a national apology deliver to the people it's aimed at? Let's take a quick listen to this significant apology from 2008.
We apologise especially for the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families, their communities and their country. For the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants and for their families left behind, we say sorry.
And that's former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd delivering the apology to the stolen generations more than 10 years ago now. One of the people watching him was Florence Onus. Florence is a survivor of the stolen generations and a descendant of the Birriggubba clan of Queensland. Florence was also the inaugural chairperson of the Healing Foundation, which was set up in the wake of the stolen generations' national apology. Florence, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Michael.
Good to have you with us. I'm very well, thank you. You were the fourth generation of your family to be forcibly removed from where you lived and who you were with. So where did you end up growing up?
Well, my family were from the Kairi Bidjara country on my mother's side. I'm Birriggubba on my father's side, so that's in central Queensland. So four generations of my family, my great-grandparents, my grandparents, my mother and her siblings, who were children at the time, were forcibly removed off their land in 1938 and placed into Aboriginal reserve called Woorabinda, which I regard as the reserves and missions I regard as the first detention centres that were established comprehensively control the lives of Aboriginal people. So my mother grew up as a child in Woorabinda.
Yes.
And around the same time, my father, who was from Birriggubba country in the Burdekin area, his family was sent to Palm Island, 80 kilometres off the east coast of Townsville. And he was raised up in the Palm Island mission there as well. So, so they both experienced removal as children from their families and sent to the dormitories, separated from their families. And then when they became parents, we were separated from them. We were forcibly removed and institutionalised from them as well. So, yeah.
And did you at some stage end up with a foster family?
Yes, I did. My two siblings and I was in a foster family that lived here in Townsville.
And look, with so much intergenerational dispossession and displacement and separation of family, Florence, I know that you work with people and have worked with people for a number of years now who have gone through similar situations to this. For you personally, how did the forced separation affect your life and the life of your siblings?
Well, it's something that continues to affect our lives. It affects the whole family. It doesn't just affect the child. So
no.
I don't think people understand that whole families are affected. You know, grandparents, parents, aunties, uncles, cousins, whole families are affected by, and whole communities are affected by the forced removal of children. For me personally, my mother and father both died prematurely. My father passed away in 1986. He was only 55 years of age. So he died of cancer of the bowel. Now, he was someone who was a non-drinker, non-smoker, hard worker, worked on the railway for many years, and I believe that he died from the unresolved grief, trauma and pain that he kept inside of him, because men of that generation never spoke of any of these things that occurred to them. So we don't really know a lot about Dad's experience as a child in the dormitory on Palm Island. My mother passed away in 2000, and she was only 67. But prior to that, when I turned 21, my mother attempted suicide, and that had a major impact on the family. And we became young carers for our mother. My siblings and I became her carers, and I became her primary carer, leading right up to her passing in 2000 while raising my children. So, you know, family are dealing with, I've got family who are dealing with alcoholism, substance abuse, incarceration, you know, attempted suicide. We've been touched by all of those issues and impacts that you hear most families are dealing with that have been institutionalised.
Florence, I'm going to come back to this story of yours in a moment because I'd like to welcome a second guest into the conversation as well. John Glynn is a former child migrant who was sent from the UK to Australia as part of the British government resettlement program. John, welcome to the program. You, I think, were raised in Wales until the age of eight.
I was, yes.
And then what happened?
Well, as far as I know, I was put on a train, sent down to the docks and sent out to Australia. I don't know why, or I'm still wanting to know what the reason for it.
And where did you end up being placed?
Placed at in Perth in Western Australia at Castledare Boys' Home. That was the first one I went to, and after a short period there, I went to Clontarf Boys' Town in Manning in Perth, and stayed there till I was 15 years of age, where they kicked me out.
And what was life like in those institutions?
Pretty horrendous. There was no love, no thought of the kids. The kids were just there to please the brothers, I think. That's about all. So, you know.
And pleasing the brothers meant, in some cases, harsh punishment.
Very harsh punishment. I received the strap and the cane quite often, you know. Brother Doyle, he was the one that was pretty brutal, and Brother Higgins was just as bad, but yeah, they were fairly brutal. They knew how to hand out the cane and the strap. So,
now you've not only been involved in the inquiry and the commission into child migrants, but also into this recent Royal Commission as well. You've testified there.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
How important is today's apology?
Well,
for you?
It's very important, not only for myself, but all the kids that were sent out. They said we were sent to a home, but I don't think we were sent to a home. We were sent to a detention centre, just like the poor old...
Like Florence was referring to there with her parents,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it wasn't a home. I think a home's a place where you get... There's nurturing and love, and I don't think the brothers actually knew what the meaning of the word meant, so, you know.
Yeah. I know that Kevin Rudd made a formal apology to those child migrants such as yourself who went through the kind of rigours and hardships and punishment and seclusion that you went through. Yeah. But in fact, you found greater meaning in the then Prime Minister Gordon Brown's apology in the UK. Let's have a little listen to what the then Prime Minister Gordon Brown had to say.
We are sorry that you were allowed to be sent away when you were at your most vulnerable. We are sorry that instead of caring for you, your country did turn its back on you. And we are sorry that as children, your voices were not always heard, your cries for help not always heeded. Today, we hear you.
What did that mean for you to hear those words?
Pretty traumatic, actually. It's when I hear it, that's the sort of thing we've been waiting. Sorry.
That's all right, John. That's fine.
It's the sort of thing we've been waiting for years.
And even now, these years on, hearing those words again clearly has an emotional response for you.
Yeah,
and it's been vital. And this is why we're talking about this today in light of what's about to happen in Canberra with Prime Minister Scott Morrison making a national apology to victims and survivors of institutional child sexual abuse. My guests here today are John Glynn, who we've just been hearing from, but also, as we mentioned earlier, Florence Onus, who's a survivor of the Stolen Generations, as have been other generations of her family. She's a descendant of the Barragubba clan in Queensland. Florence, when you heard the words of apology that we played earlier from Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, I take it you also had a very strong emotional response in the way that John is having again now. Florence,
emotional,
are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I am actually, you know, come into this interview feeling quite emotional, you know, just thinking about what's about to happen today and things that have happened in the past.
Yeah.
So when the apology was given to our people in 2008, I was overwhelmed by the grief and the dam of tears that I shed on that day. So, yeah, it still does bring up a lot of emotion because I just on Friday I attended the funeral of our brother, who is a victim of child sex abuse and violent abuse, and he died prematurely. And for him, you know, the apology has come too late. So he's taken the trauma and the grief to the grave, and I attended his funeral just Friday with his family.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Florence, I take it that national apology that you heard in Canberra from Kevin Rudd, and what John's experienced as well with Gordon Brown, is an important and vital step, but it's only a first step, would you agree? And that's why, of course, you were part of what was that healing institution that's still going now.
That's right. I think the apology was a huge step and part of the first part of the process. And as John said, you know, it's the first time that someone has said sorry, to hear those words sorry, that, you know, and that children feel and people feel that their voices have finally been heard, that they no longer feel that they need to hide under a cloak of shame for the things that were committed against them. And however, the apology is only the first step. We need more action. Similar to the apology, we need, following this, we want to see some real action. And I guess for...
Well, is the Healing Foundation being part of that action? Have you been satisfied with the kind of support it's received politically, but also its ability to deliver what it needs to people who most need it?
Yes, look, the Healing Foundation has been doing some wonderful work. They've been funded to deliver funding to grassroots healing programs on the ground. And they've also conducted a lot of research that wasn't available in the past. But however, the funding that they receive is inadequate. And I'd like to see, as part of the recommendations from this Royal Commission, that the healing resources, adequate healing resources, are made available to all the victims and their families right around the nations.
John, can I come back to you now? Yeah. Because I know that redress was mentioned as part of the process of healing for child migrants such as yourself. The UK government announced that it would provide funding for that to occur. Has that occurred?
No, it hasn't occurred yet, but it's still ongoing. Gordon Brown, he allocated so much money that we can keep in touch with our families, we can travel home.
So you've actually reconnected with some of your brothers, haven't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I've had three brothers. I've got three brothers which I never even knew I had. I was 53 before I found them, so it's pretty traumatic, you know.
But fantastic to know that they're still alive and you can connect now. But so there's been money for that. But in terms of sorrow and loss of family and the kind of trauma you've experienced over the years, aren't you part of a court action at the moment?
I am. I'm part of a London court action at the moment. Hopefully we get one going here in Australia too. I've made a few inquiries about that, and it looks like it might go ahead. So I just hope that something's done. It's not the money.
It's the gesture behind the money, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yes. It's not for myself, but also for all the kids that have gone through what I've gone through over the years. So
yeah.
That's the main thing.
So you'll be watching?
Oh, my word.
Today?
I'll be watching, definitely.
Yeah. Florence, I know that there's been talk of redress for the institutional child sexual abuse outcomes that we've heard so much about over the last 5 years of the Royal Commission, finally being brought into the open. My understanding is, though, that no church or institution has really formally put money into that redress scheme yet, although I think it may be in process. As someone who's been through the Stolen Generation time after the apology, what lessons can we learn when it comes to today's apology?
Well, look, we're still waiting. You know, as John said, we want justice. We need healing and reparations. And this has to have all of government support. We need bipartisan support by government, and we need government to commit to long-term solutions and strategies. Now, since the Bring Them Home report and the national apology,
yes.
You know, a lot of these things, you know, we're still waiting for reparations. I know that New South Wales has committed to reparations, South Australia and Tasmania. However, the other states and territories, we're still waiting for reparations. And but justice is a big thing, as John said. It's about bringing these people to justice, and the institutions that were responsible for the trauma, pain, and suffering that they were inflicted upon children. We want to see justice as part of the healing process as well. And the Healing Foundation has just released a discussion paper titled "Restoring Our Spirits, Reshaping Our Futures." And so, from their experiences at the Healing Foundation, they have led a lot of the work and the research. So they've developed in that paper, they've got a framework that addresses the context of child sex abuse and gaps in current approaches to addressing it, mm-hmm. a values-led approach, and key elements and strategies for creating and restoring safety and healing. And I think, this is what we're saying. We want some real action and some real commitment by government.
Well, with that strength of feeling that's evident there amongst you and John, I'm sure many other people have been through this process already, with two national apologies and another one to come today. We can only hope that governments and institutions come to the fore in the way they should. Florence Onus, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
And John Glenn, all the best today in watching that national apology.
Thank you.
My guests, Florence Onus, a member of the Stolen Generation and an inaugural chair of the Healing Foundation, which was set up in the wake of the 2008 national apology, and John Glenn, a former child migrant sent here from the UK in the 1970s. He's managed to reconnect with members of his family, but he's part of a court action in London at the moment seeking reparation for the harm caused to him by that child migrant scheme. And this is Life Matters.